Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gamma's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Burgesses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Great host. Thank you. Bus people are happy. We are having gorgeous weather here in Florida. Say highs are getting in the mid 80s, although it did hit 90 in some areas today. Tampa Airport at about 5:30 was setting at 90 degrees, but low humidity, and it is just a beautiful time of year to be in Florida. We're live. This is Thursday evening, October the 8th, 2015, at 7:03 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're going to have a little bit shorter show tonight. I will tell you now, and I always say that, but I have myself a bad sciatica nerve problem, and boy, I'll tell you, it is driving me insane. I can't sit for very long. It hurts to do stuff and all that, and it's particularly bothersome because I'm doing some bottling now, and I have to move the cases around and stuff like that. Wearing a brace, a back brace, and it seems to give a little bit more support. My back is fine. X-rays show that it's great and everything. But this sciatica is really, really starting to affect my life. So, long explanation for a short problem. The show's going to be a little bit shorter because I can't sit very long. We just have some stuff for you. I've got a hold of some haunted wineries. Nobody was available for this evening. They are still in the middle of doing some major, most of them I've talked to anyway, were in the middle of doing some major bottling and getting everything in and all that all over the country. It's still going on, so they're working on that. And no one was available. But just some information tonight for you. And we'll pass this on, some bits and pieces, and then you can enjoy a glass of wine and the rest of your evening. Speaking of which, I got a Yellowtail here. I picked up a Yellowtail Syrah's Cab, a 2014. Yellowtail Syrah's Cab, 80% Syrah's, 20% Cab. Light, fruity. Yellowtail tends to be a rather light wine. But just something that I wanted to enjoy. Of course, if you don't know, it is from Australia. So, Yellowtail, one of the big ones in the country, one of the big ones on sales. Whenever I read you any type of reports or anything about sales of wine, Yellowtail's right up there. They're all over the place. William Hill Estate Winery. I don't know if you've heard of it. It is located in California, Napa, Sonoma. Actually, Napa is the winery itself, but Sonoma and Monterey, and it sources grapes from a lot of different areas. But it's actually from Napa. William Hill Estate Winery announced that they are just signed a new multi-year marketing relationship that designates William Hill Estate Winery as the official wine of the PGA Tour, Champions Tour, and Web.com Tour in North America. So, there you go. It's behind sponsoring that. Actually, William Hill is owned by E.J. Gallo Winery, one of their many, many wines under the Gallo umbrella. But William Hill is makes some really nice wines, some luxury Chardonnay, some very good Merlots and stuff. I've had William Hill in the past, and I've always been excited about it. They cost a bit more, but it is worth a little bit extra money to pay for them because you really are getting some nice varietal characteristics, some very nice wine there. It is the fans of the wine and of the PGA Tour can visit William Hill website at WilliamHillEstate.com. WilliamHillEstate.com. And while you're there, you can register for a chance to win a four-night trip for two to Napa. They are an ongoing thing there for trips and different things. So, the official wine of the PGA, William Hill Estate Winery. It's fun to know, where their money's going, where our money's going when we buy it. Let me pull up some stuff here, if it will let me. Yes, it will. And I just got some stuff to pass on for you tonight, some just bits and pieces of information that you may or may not find interesting, but I do. Let's see. I've talked about a lot of that stuff. Let me jump here up here to the ones. This is something that... a discussion going on. Do I want to... no. A tech talk, and I don't want to go into tech talk with you. It's talking about some of the things that can actually get into a wine itself, actually cause a problem within a wine itself. So, don't want to bore you with that, because I've always said I'm not going to try to make it friendly and not too technical. Back a week and a half ago, a truck tipped over on Highway 128 and spilled 8,000 pounds of red wine grapes onto the highway. It was going through the Alexander Valley. It spilled a load of grapes on 128. It was on a Tuesday morning. It was traveling too fast on a curve, is what it said. It was about 8:43 in the morning the crash occurred, and they were directing the traffic off the road and around it as much as they could. Major, slippery, sloppy mess. And they were trying to get it cleaned up as much as they can. The trucker drove into a sharp 90-degree curve way too fast, which caused the thing to turn over. The rig was hauling two flat trailers carrying large grape bins attached by hinges. When they entered the curve, the outward swing caused it to hit a culvert, which caused the truck to fall over. Estimated, like I say, about 8,000 pounds of grapes were spilled. And a lot of people helped pulling with chains and stuff, getting the truck and the equipment out of the way. And so it was cleaned up. It was taken care of. But it messed up traffic and the road for quite some time. That happened a couple of weeks ago on the 29th, which really wasn't 2 weeks ago, was it? Let's see. The 29th was just about 8 days ago, or 9 days ago. So, just happened. Am I looking at the right? Yes, I am. Speaking of looking at the calendar here, I'm going to share this with you, too. I've been busy over the last week and a half getting prepared for our Pet Fest, our annual Pet Fest that we do at the winery. This one was on October the 3rd. It turned out extremely well. We were very happy with the results. We started cleaning up the yards and doing all sorts of work and inside and out and all that on Monday. It took me pretty much all week to get everything clipped down and trimmed down and cut down and chopped up like I wanted. And the yard was very good for it. They came in marked off. We expected 75 vendors. We ended up with 82 vendors. We had dog rescues from just about every type of dog you can imagine. We had people that had bull mastiffs that they brought to the festival. We had people that were pushing around baby carriages with chihuahuas in them, and it was every dog in between was there. There was all sorts of different vendors for all sorts of different things. There was door prizes. There were souvenir wine glasses. We did tastings. They had a silent auction, which did very, very well. One of the big prizes was a four-day cruise, Disney cruise, and it was just packed. It was very good. We had a petting zoo. A guy brought out a llama and a pony and a snake and what else was it? I can't remember now. I just got to wander around just for a few minutes before we got busy inside. But it was a great event scheduled next year for October the 1st. If you're in the area or if you're around and looking for something to do around the end of September, 1st of October, put us on your itinerary. It's a great event, and it's always a lot of fun. And we're doing Woofstock in the spring, April the 4th, I believe, the Woofstock's going to be coming. I was just informed by my engineer, we don't have a solid date yet, but so we're looking at April, I think, around the 1st of April. So we'll keep you informed of that. But coming up, though, lots of stuff. We've got a real big event coming up on the 24th, which is the San Ann Art Fest, which is San Antonio's little small town. I know there's one in Texas, big one. But this is just a little small local town. Excuse me. Little small town in Pasco County, just short distance from us. A lot of artists there. It's like a Marin County type artist thing for the area. A lot of artists there, and they're going to be doing the festival on the 24th of this month at the winery. So something else to mark your calendars on. So I wanted to tell you about that because we've been talking about the Pet Fest off and on for a month or so. So I wanted to let you know about it. The wine harvest. Let's move on to something else here. What did these fires, all the fires and everything, do to the wine harvest up in there? Has it caused any damage and all that? Well, here's the latest report on it. This says September is the wine harvest month, and it basically has been a disaster for a lot of wineries, in particularly Lake County. The Shed Horn Cellars in Lake County actually was burned to the ground. Hawk and Horse Vineyards are actually harvesting. The same fire charred hundreds of acres on the 1,300-acre property, but the 18-acre biodynamic vineyard was barely touched. So Tracy Hawkins, who owns the Hawk Vineyard, says it was just a miracle. Harvest is always an intense time because of, you know, the worry about hail coming in or any number of things, weather kind of interfere with it, rains, anything. So fires were the big issue on this one. Washington State, Northern California, their biggest worries have been a series of massive fires, and it has really been ongoing. The area in Lake County, just north of Napa, and people, Napa is not on fire. I have people come in all the time saying, Napa's on fire. No, it's not. It's north of Napa. The hills up north of Napa and all this have been burning, but Napa Valley is not on fire. The Napa County has some fires, or had some fires. I think everything is under control. So, you know, don't be seen. The Valley Fire is under control at last. It was one of the big ones up there. About three dozen wineries and more than 150 growers in Lake County. It's a little bit smaller, a cheaper version, if you will, of Napa. Big Napa producers such as Hess and Duckhorn try to get grapes from Lake County because they are cheaper and it's easier to use that for blending and stuff. And little boutique wineries. A lot of the wineries have harvested already. It's not something that they've had to worry about. The harvest was early, but it was an issue even then. It was an issue even then. A lot of the growers said that the fire was, yeah, just a little bit more, thank you. A lot of the growers said that the fire was just exploded. It was just went from zero to 40,000 acres in like 24 hours, and it worried everyone. The few vineyards that burned was about 15% of the area's vineyards. So it wasn't critical. I mean, it's sad, but smoke is the issue that they're still a little bit concerned about, because if you listen to last week's program, sometimes you can't tell there's a smoke issue until after you've got the grapes ready, which makes a wine smell like and taste like a wet ashtray. So that is an issue that they are still concerned about. They are, much of the vendors know about smoke taint, and from research that was done in Australia after the big brush fires there in 2003, and so which has been the first biggest study on smoke taint, and so a lot of them are aware of it and look for it. The Mendocino's Anderson Valley in 2008 had a horrible smoke taint problem, and they learned a lot from that also. It's the effects of smoke taint, and since, you know, you may or may not be hearing more of this, I'm hearing different things. I'm seeing different things about the smoke taint. But it depends on how long the grapes are exposed to the smoke and how dense the smoke is. There was smoke, but there was winds. There was a lot of winds that carried the smoke away. It carried it from the west to the northeast. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why Napa's not being affected by it, because it was carrying it away from Napa. And it was blowing. Another reason is that it came at the end of the season. It was right during, right before harvest. So it wasn't like it was sitting there on the grapes for an extended period of time. And the taint comes from, again, grape skin, and partly because smoke compounds enter a vine sap and then eventually reaching the grapes itself. That's why washing the grapes does not help. You just can't run them through the shower and say, okay, we're good and we're ready to go, because it actually gets inside the grapes through the sap. The Pinot Noir is particularly sensitive because of its thin skin, but it's not really planted a lot in Lake County, so that's not an issue. Red wines are macerated with the skins and then aged and end up showing the most smoke taint. They're actually throwing the skins in contact with the juice longer, whereas white wines, you don't get it at all. So these are things that will affect it or not affect it. So far, though, basically, smoke taint hasn't been really noticed. With all the fires and everything, the wineries are now harvesting, although some of them, like I said earlier, don't come up until later when you actually start tasting the wine and stuff, like I mentioned last week. But overall, it looks like the smoke taint is not an issue. It looks like most of the vineyards survived, a very small percentage. Again, 15% of Lake County's vineyards, not much at all compared to the damage that could have and may have possibly happened, didn't. So they were lucky on that. They were thrilled, and you can't blame them for saying, hey, you know, thanks for not, you know, don't desert them. They're all good there. Chardonnay is making a comeback. And the reason Chardonnay is making a comeback, right? Yeah, we've all heard the ABC, you know, anything but Chardonnay or Cabernet, you know, or anything that starts with the C. But to start out with the ABC, anything but Chardonnay. Chardonnay is coming back. There's a lot of diverse styles out there now. You can, I tell people, you can get Chardonnay in so many different styles. It can match up with just about anything you want to put on the table. Because of that, too, Chardonnay is one of the biggest selling wine in this country. But the diversity of it is what's making it so much better. It's the old standby. You know, it's one that you can sit there and always count on for just about anything you want to do. A lot of the white wines, Rieslings, the Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, Vignier, Gruner, Wittliner, are all been, you know, the wine de jours over the last few years. Everybody says, oh, I discovered this one, I discovered that one, and all that. But everyone goes back to Chardonnay. Oregon is the number two to Pinot Gris in the white wines, and plenty of plantings are up there in Oregon. Washington, Chardonnay, Riesling, it bounces back and forth. They're not sure. They both sell very well. And the northwestern areas of the country, the Chardonnay is always right up there at the top. So because of the diverse styles, because of the ways Chardonnays can be aged or unaged. I actually make an unaged Chardonnay, unoaked Chardonnay. Prefer to do it unoaked, but all sorts of styles out there and all sorts of ways to enjoy it. And because of that, Chardonnay is really starting to pick up a lot then. Finger Lakes Wineries, let's jump across country here. We're talking about Washington. Jump across. Finger Lake Winery is starting to use a lot of solar power. They're finding that the cost of things and everything up there are getting high. So Hunt County Vineyards, yay, that's my last name. Hunt County Vineyards has switched over as, oh, I hate it when they do this thing. Okay, let's do this and see if we can clear this back out here and get, oh, come on. This is the Dean's. Oh, just all sorts of pop-ups. You know, we don't want to see all these pop-ups, people. Oh, you have to answer to continue reading content. Okay, well, let's just do this. This is ridiculous. You know, absolutely ridiculous. There we go. Just click on any of them. Hunt County Vineyard, Wagner Vineyard in Lodi, Seneca County, Dr. Constantine Frank Vinifer Wine Cellars in Hammondsport, Steuben County, and Oneida and Eagle Crest Vineyards in Conesus, Livingston County, all have went solar. System of producing 109 kilowatts of electricity at Hunt County, 51 kilowatts at Dr. Frank's, 250 at the Wagner, so 62 at the Odina and Eagle Crest. The solar panels will produce 70-80% of their electricity needs, so they have went major solar in a lot of the wineries in the Finger Lakes area, and they are saying it is saving them lots of money, and the investment has been well worth it. The rising energy costs and the climate change have caused them to reexamine everything, and with the solar energy, they don't have to worry about the carbon footprint and the problems that they have with trying to get what they need to run and all that. So, solar energy has taken over a lot of the Finger Lakes areas. I hesitate there when I do that because I'm reading a little bit and seeing if that's what I want to tell you. Virginia wine sales hit a record high in fiscal year 2015. We're not done with Virginia, and I know I keep saying that, but we are not done with Virginia. Beaujolais winemakers are squawking because their prices of the Beaujolais is so low. They think it should be higher, but nobody's buying it anymore. You got to remember that. It's the high-end Beaujolais have really... here. Now, this is something. We talked about this two or three weeks ago. The Canada's ice wine producers can benefit from provisions in the Transatlantic Partnership and Agreement, which is being negotiated in Atlanta. Global News has learned that if negotiators sign off on a major international trade agreement this week in Atlanta, it will contain significant measures that will impact Canada's wine and spirits industry. A senior conservative source says the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement has provisions that protect the definition of ice wine. Ooh. Only products that use the traditional production method of harvesting frozen grapes off the vine would be able to call themselves ice wine. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and in Ontario, they take them off because issues that they have there. They pull them off the vines and they tie them to the vines. They tie them to the fence and all that around it. And so this is stating that only if they are only products that use the traditional production of harvesting frozen grapes off the vine. There's the key. Canadian ice winemakers have complained that counterfeiters are capturing up to 50% of the market in some Asian countries, selling cheap knockoffs made by adding sweeteners or picking grapes and then freezing them. Actually, it's not illegal in the United States to do that. Winning this kind of protection would be welcomed by Canada's wine industry, since TPP members are among the biggest consumers of ice wine. The agreement, as it currently worded, would also provide similar protection to Canadian whiskey and Canadian rye whiskey. Those products would have to be manufactured by Canadian producers to gain access to the TPP market, which will include 12 countries accounting for 40% of global gross domestic product. That's approximately 800 million people. Also contained in the agreement are provisions to streamline labeling requirements, making it easier to produce labels for multiple markets. Don't have to change it every time. Trade ministers will be meeting in Atlanta this week, and what is hoped will be the final push to come up with the agreement. I'm curious because I just was seeing that great big article about how they are the Ontario growers are complaining because it doesn't give them doesn't consider them as a true ice wine product. So I don't know. I don't think that's done there. That's a good issue there, but I don't think that is done. I think we're going to see some more coming from that rather soon here, I believe. Let's see, that was just this beginning of this week that was on there. So, the newest afternoon brief here. Let me, come on, come up. What's your problem? Oh, there we go. Cabernet Sauvignon is starting to outsell Chardonnay. Chardonnay has been the biggest wine for decades. I mean, Chardonnay sales have been, by far and above the largest wine sales in for years and years. But over the last year, the volume of Cabernet Sauvignon sold off-premise grew almost 5% compared with a little less than a half or a little more than a 0.5% for Chardonnay, which has been the biggest varietal for decades. If Cabernet Sauvignon and Chardonnay continues to grow at these rates, Cabernet will be the biggest variety in 3 years. Oh boy, that's interesting. The shift to generational behavior. Gen X wine drinkers tend to enter the category of white wines, whereas millennials are more likely to enter in the red wine category. So, millennials, you're doing this for the Cabernet and killing off the Chardonnay. That is really surprising if that does happen. The biggest varietal losers in annual dollar volume decline has been Syrah, at almost 11%, white Zinfandel at 6.2% decline, and Merlot at minus 3%. The decline of Australian wines in the U.S. market may let up. The category dropped 5.5% this past year, but the last quarter only dropped about 2.5%. So it's interesting numbers there, very interesting numbers. Whole bunch of different numbers here talking about the different wines and stuff and what's growing and isn't. I'm not going to read all this to you or tell you about it because it is just actually pretty boring. If you're interested, it's on the website wineindustryadvisor.com. The wineindustryadvisor.com has a lot of information actually on the wine industry. I get a lot of stuff I pass on to you through them. So, wineindustryadvisor.com, and just check Cabernet outgrows Chardonnay sales projections, and you'll see the charts and the complete article. But wow, Cabernet outgrowing Chardonnay. China counterfeit wine. A lot of counterfeit wine coming out of China. I mean, you know, China's so big they can they copy everything. Well, right now they're doing a lot of counterfeit wine. And the French are upset. They say this is not a good thing. The French are calling it an industry in China. The industry of making counterfeit wines. They have stories of abandoned chicken farms converted to illicit bottling lines are making headlines in around different areas. China alleges the main counterfeiters are importers, distributors, and sub-distributors. And their goal is to reduce the purchase price, increase the available volume of a brand, and avoid import duties and taxes. Which, because of import duties and taxes, it could go as high as 48 to 50% extra on the cost of the wine. So you can see why they might want to argue about that. Brand squatting, which acquiring the Chinese rights to a foreign wine's name, is also on the rise. No brand or region or grape is safe. All the Greek grape variety names were recently the object of a trademark request, which costs little for private individuals. Chinese wines and spirits face the same battle. It is widely acknowledged that some domestic wines are diluted to four times their volume. It's like taking yourself a 750 bottle of wine taking yourself a 750 milliliter bottle of wine, pouring it into one of those four bottle boxes and filling the rest of it with water. Oh my. It's an issue. It is an issue, and it's something that China said that they're doing what they can to take care of. The Chinese authorities are now beginning to listen to the foreign brand owners. They are saying, the counterfeiting, it is a problem that really needs to be taken care of, and they're starting to notice that more and more of it's being done in China. They had a couple, actually a man, a wife, and six partners were convicted of making and selling wine with counterfeit labels. The operation started out as a legitimate company, importing bulk wine and bottling it under their own brands. Then they realized that they can make a lot more money by selling counterfeits of the well-known brands. So they did. They received prison terms ranging from 2 years to 4.5 years and fines up to $161,000. So they're trying to do something about it, but China is such a big, big market. It's exploding. I've talked about the Chinese market over and over again, about how large it is and how it's exploding and how much we're shipping to China. So doing the counterfeit brands is just another aspect of it. If you want to read the whole article, it's in winespectator.com. What issue? I think it's just, recent. It's in the newest one, winespectator, posted October 8th, which is today. So winespectator.com, and you can look up the article about Chinese counterfeit wine problem. It's a long article. It goes into more detail and stuff like that. But it is a problem, and it's the biggest problem there than anywhere else. The Prosecco harvest, Italian sparkling wine, is down 20 to 25%. Weather issues, they're saying, is one of the biggest reasons, but it is down. Revive grape. I saw something three weeks ago about Spanish grapes and different grapes are trying to revive. They're trying to get these things to, in the old world, some of the earliest grapes are trying to grow. The Greek islands are growing grapes because they're sheltered and they have the grapes there. And I'm seeing different things about they're trying to revive old grapes. Says Spain's Torres said it has brought two red grape varieties back from the brink of extinction, and they believe these could help with climate change. And this is really what a lot of these places are doing, trying to get these so that they can help with climate change. Torres, let me see who I mean by Torres. It doesn't say, right? It's just climate change, Torres. Spain's Torres, I'm not sure. Torres said that two revived wine grapes named Manu and Gonfos, M-O-N-E-U, Manu and Gonfos, G-O-N-F-A-U-S, have great promise in wine, red wine production. The latest part of the long-running project, Torres is investigating revived around 40 Spanish grape varieties previously cultivated in the Catalonia region since the 1980s. It comes amid interest in forgotten grape varieties in several countries, and that's what I'm seeing. I was just mentioning that there's projects in Italy, southern France, Switzerland, and also Chile, and in Greece. They didn't mention it here, but I know there was one in Greece looking at some very old grapes. Many of these are not deemed suitable for use in wine blends, but Torres is already using a couple of ancestral varietals, Corral and Gara, in one of his blends. He thinks that Manu and Gonfal could follow similar paths in dealing with the climate change, and especially in Catalonia. The Torres family discovered that these two varieties express the greatest potential in the climates under extreme conditions, but they are both extremely drought resistant, which it seems like this is what the world needs now, as many things that we're seeing about the drought. Miguel Torres Macazac, general manager of Bodegas Torres, said reviving old varieties was a slow, long process, but it gave him better understanding of the great varieties that existed prior to the outbreak of phylloxera at the end of the 19th century. So a lot of these were lost during phylloxera. They're bringing them back now. Decanter.com has this article. It's a recent article. So if you want to follow up, there's also links and different things going to different stuff. The world mother grape, they call it the mother grape, is being saved from extinction. The Casanova, the wine grape that has a role in parenting so many of the world's leading varieties. And Switzerland has revived it from extinction. They brought it back. That's, you know, some more stuff on there through that link. So Decanter Magazine is going to give you a decanter.com. We'll give you a link to all that stuff and tell you about it. And let's see, there's something else here that, come up, there it is. Bloody Roots of California Vineyard. Well, that's a good article. I'm going to have to read that. I haven't read that yet. This is out of the Indian Country Today Medium Network.com. Wow. Quite a name there. So, a couple of things there. And I am killing just a second here because I have to pull up the screen again. And let me find something else that I wanted to talk about. There, this is the one. The wine in California. Yeah, I need to the Valley Flower is 100% contained, but they still need to clean it up. Killed four people and scorched almost 120 square miles in Lake, Sonoma, and Napa counties. So, wow. And this is dated the 7th, which is yesterday, and it was just announced that it was officially 100% declared contained Tuesday. So the Valley Fire is officially over. And let me read you one more thing here, tell you about one more thing here. I see read because it's Sunpreme, S-U-N-P-R-E-M-E, Sunpreme. That is the grape they say that could revolutionize the raisin industry. I know this is all about wine, but it's also about these grapes, and I want to tell you about that. The Supreme is grapes, including raisins, are the third largest crop in California, grossing almost $6 billion in 2014. Labor-intensive crop. It takes thousands of workers to harvest. But they report that the new raisin grape variety bred in Central California could severely decrease the need for workers. It takes a lot of hard labor to harvest raisins. Three or more rounds of pruning, quality control, and picking. And to pay the workers costs a lot of money. That's why the raisin industry is desperately searching for ways to spend less on labor, creating a larger profit margin. When you look at the cost of raisins, it's almost hard to believe because, you know, they are still reasonably priced. The article goes on to talk about this new Supreme, how it is... if a raisin proves cost-effective, it could prevent the steady loss of raisin acreage to more profitable crops like almonds and pistachios. And so, this is a very long article. I just saw this, and I'm not going to read this. Read this all to you. But the Supreme, easier to harvest, and they're saying that it's a much, much better grape. So if you want to check that out, KVPR.org. KVPR. I don't know what that is. KVPR. Doesn't say it anywhere here. .org. Just Supreme, and it will tell you about it and talk about it and all that. So, there you go. I think we're going to be done for the night. I know it's a short program, but... I can't sit here anymore because of my sciatica, and I've been bouncing and moving and trying to do everything to get comfortable, and I can't. We do have a festival this weekend. We have gorgeous weather. We have vendors, some great vendors showing up. I don't have the list in front of me, or else I would do like Mike does and tell you about them, but I don't have that. But... I do have a little thing here I'll play you, so I'll be back in a little over a minute.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And there you go. Thank you, Mike. Yes, so we have a wine fest this weekend, and we had the big one last weekend, but this weekend is just our little intimate one again, so come out. It is getting close to the holidays, time to do shopping, and you don't have to really shop. You can come out. You can just have yourself a bottle of wine, sit outside, and just enjoy the beautiful weather that they're predicting for this Saturday. Rain's supposed to come in the late afternoon, so you'll be able to sit there all day and just enjoy the view of the lake in the back and the... quiet country setting that we're in. This is it for the night. I got someone online, it looks like. Oh, someone's been online for a long time, but I haven't been there. Do you, person online, let me see if they want to come on. I'll, let me, put you all on, where's my music here? good music. If I have a little jazz I can play while I go talk to somebody, and I can't find my jazz here. There it is. Okay. Be back in a minute. I just saw shortly on. Just check to see the person online here. Somebody was just playing music on there. I don't know if it was, if they expected it to be heard over the air or not, but they were playing music. I didn't bring them on, so it wasn't heard over the air. So, I guess there's not anyone there. Have yourself a wonderful week. Be safe out there. Safe holiday. We got Columbus Day coming up Monday. Some people get a 3-day weekend. Most of us don't. So be safe out there on Columbus Day. Enjoy a lot of good wines, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Next week, Mike should be back. We are hoping to have Joy Neighbors or Joy's Joy on Wine with us next week, so it should be a good Halloween program. Check our websites and the shows. We'll let you know for sure. So have a safe week. Drink lots of wine, and we'll see you next week. Let's see, what is that one? I'm stood down here and I don't have the... There we go. Be safe.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Landerville, Florida. 4 miles west of Interstate 75, east of U.S. 19, and U.S. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.